O king, Hiranyakashipu was extremely angry, but since he was a great politician, he knew how to act according to the time and situation. With sweet words, he began pacifying his nephews, whose names were Shakuni, Shambara, Drishti, Bhuta Santapana, Vrika, Kalanab, Mahanab, Harshi Mashru, and Utkach. He also consoled their mother, his sister-in-law, Rushabhanu, as well as his own mother, Diti. He spoke to them as follows. Shri Hiranyakashipurvacha Ambabahi Vadhuputra Viram Maharatha Sochitum Riporabhi Mukheslagya Shuranam Vada Episitaha. Hiranyakashipu said, My dear mother, sister-in-law and nephews, you should not lament for the death of great hero, for a hero's death in front of his enemy is glorious and desirable. Text 21. Bhutanam iha samavasha pripayam iva suvrate devanaikatra nittanam unanittanam sukarmabhihi. Translation. My dear mother, in a restaurant or place for drinking cold water, many travelers are brought together and after drinking water, they continue to their respective destinations. Similarly, living entities join together in a family and later as a result of their own actions, they are led apart to their destinations. Purport. Prakriti kriya manani gune karmani sarvashah ahankar vimur atma kartaham iti mannate. The bewildered soul, under the influence of three modes of material nature, thinks himself the doer of activities, which are in actuality carried out by nature. Bhagavad Gita 3.27. All living entities act exactly according to the direction of Prakriti, material nature. Because in the material world, we are fully under a higher control. All the living entities in this material world have come here only because they wanted to be equal to Krishna in enjoyment, and have thus been sent here to be conditioned by material nature in different degrees. In the material world, a so-called family is a combination of several persons in one home to fulfill the terms of the imprisonment. As criminal prisoners scatter as soon as their terms are over and they are released, all of us who have temporarily assembled as family members will continue to our respective destinations. And an example given that family members are like straws carried together by the waves of a river. Sometimes such straws mix together in whirlpool and later dispersed again by the same waves, they float alone in the water. Although Hiranyakashipu was a demon, he had Vedic knowledge and understanding. Thus, the advice given to his family members, his sister-in-law, mother and nephews was quite sound. The demons are considered highly elevated in knowledge, but because they do not use their good intelligence for the service of the Lord, they are called demons. The demigods, however, act very intelligently to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam. Ataha pumbir duja shrestha varna ashram vibhagashah swanusthishtaya dharmasya samasiddhi haritoshanam. O best among the twice born, it is therefore concluded that the highest perfection one can achieve by discharging his prescribed duties, dharma, according to caste divisions and orders of life, is to please the Lord Hari. To become a demigod or to become godly, whatever one's occupation, one must satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, the scenario is that Hiranyakashipu is right now with his family members, and Hiranyakashipu has been killed. By who? Lord Vishnu, in the incarnation of Vur. So, Vishnu comes time and time again to save his devotees. And in one way or the other, demons who are disturbing devotees, Lord Krishna, in the form, various forms and incarnations, descend to save his devotees and annihilate these demons. A very strong statement which we read, which will be the theme of today's talk, the demons are very intelligent. And they also have some understanding of Vedic knowledge. However, they do not please Krishna. And because of that mentality alone, they are demons. Demigods also have Vedic understanding. Srila Prabhupada says, but they utilize their power and energy and the resources with their intellect in the service of the Lord. And that is the basic difference. So I was pondering upon these lines and reflecting back in the history. In the year 1945, it was just after the Second World War, that Albert Einstein, one of the celebrated scientists in modern world society, who has given various laws of science, nuclear physics, theories of relativity, on which today's modern mechanisms are basically foundationed. This scientist writes to President Franklin Roosevelt that Nazis, the Germans, are experimenting on uranium. If they can successfully extract pure uranium, they will be able to create a fission process. And this process, by the multiplication chain reaction of atoms, would then cause enormous energy to be created, which can be used for destruction. Hence, therefore, I request the president to release enough funds so that we can do it faster and better than them. President Roosevelt opened $2 billion towards this research. And the project was called Manhattan Project because it was opened at Manhattan in the United States of America. Soon after the research, so these scientists are very high intellectual understanding how matter works. And they could manipulate atoms and its energy in such a way, and they could extract enough uranium to do an experiment in Mexico. It basically raised enormous energy. There were at least 10 or 12 key scientists involved. When they looked back, they said, what a monster have we given birth to? They were repenting. Some of them were very sincerely thinking, how can we retract it? But unfortunately, it wasn't the Brahmastra of Ashwatthama. It could not be ridden, undone anymore. The weapon was ready. The Japanese troops were marching to capture the world. There were two strong poles, and the war was coming to a peak in 1945. Even by repeated warnings, Japan was not surrendering. And at that point of time, the troops in a plane from United States of America dropped two bombs, nuclear weapons, in the state of Nagasaki and Hiroshima. We all know about it. In the split seconds, the process of fission started, and all the energy started to multiply. Within seconds, there was so much of energy developed that it burned into an explosion of 7 kilometer clouds in the sky. And the people in the entire city, around 200,000, were captured in that energy. The heat was so strong that people were putting back their face towards the heat and their back was just burning away with clothes. People were just flying away in their rooms to the roofs and sink back into the doors. A couple of them survived. Split seconds. In first few 10 minutes, around 130,000 people were dead. A couple of them were surviving, and they rose back into hell. There was fire all around. People were dead. There were corpses. All burnt bones. Nothing else. They were just howling and crying. Where to go? where to look at. This is demon. This is demoniac mentality. On the pretext of utilizing the resources of material energy provided by Krishna, instead of being utilized in the service of Krishna, is being utilized in devastation of the humankind. One short example, World War II, atomic bomb. Never in the history was it used before. If another one broke, we don't know what will happen. They are researching, even into more powerful ways and means, just to satisfy their own lust, the greed to power, to control the world, the greed to get everything within their capacity, under their control. Krishna says, Bhoktaram yajna tapasam sarva loka maheshwaram. He is the controller. He is the proprietor. He is the enjoyer. But here we see the living entity as wanting to become Krishna himself. They are wanting to control. This President Roosevelt did not think twice that what will it bring to the world? To this date, the child born in these places are still not so able by their limbs. Still suffering. There is no remedy to it. Scientists have gone ahead and devised so many scientific instruments. They think that life will become better, convenient. Microwave, one such example. It's destroying. The food we eat through microwave is no more the same food. Research has been done, but the powerful capitalist would not let this research out. In long run, these microwaves can develop such blood cells in human body that will make their immune system crippled and they will be succumbed to cancer. Gradually and slowly, every day, they are dying. And they are not letting it release. The negative news cannot come out. Advertisement shall go on because show has to run. The show is run by Maya. And these are the propellers, the demoniac mentality. Abortions. There is no soul until it's in egg form. There is no soul until 3 months' time. You can kill it, no problem. Age of 13 in the school, the child is taught. You can go to a hospital and kill it. Don't control your senses, no problem. This is the very foundation of the material world today. This is the very foundation of the society we are living in. What is the justification? Because the government and the one which are ruled, they are all demoniac. Kalau Sudra Sambhava. In place like India, 30% people go for voting to election. Just 30%. The rest don't vote because they have no interest. These 30%, most of them are from villages. And they elect somebody like themselves. They are simple, but they are uneducated. They get into cheatings of these leaders for few hundred rupees here and there. They can give their vote or the right to rule by them to these demonic personalities. What do? They just fill in their pockets. Corruption. So in Kali Yuga, this is the scene it's going to be intense and intense. Modern education, as Srila Prabhupada says, is slaughterhouse, nothing else. All they will teach us to become Shudra, work for sense gratification. If not, just struggle for existence. Husband and wife, they have to work together day and night because they have taken a house. What wrong to live? But I have to pay my mortgages. How can I survive? So much of anxiety from morning 7 a.m. to evening 7 p.m. and back in the night. When am I going to get time to study the literatures of Govinda? Even we are in devotee communities, we suffer the anxieties and the pranks of the material world. They are constantly, without breaking, piercing into our consciousness. hybrid vegetables, seedless grapes. Fast-moving trains and planes. I travel quite frequently, and day before yesterday, I was going through a fast plane, as fast as it could be. And straight away, I had to come back. After landing, I'm feeling so nauseatic. Is human body designed to do that? But we are forced into it. This is because we are engulfed with lust. The material world is designed in such a way that when soul comes in contact with the mode of passion, the substance that gives rise to is called lust. Kama esha krodha esha rajoguna samadbhava mahashanu mahapapmam vidhiyenam iha virinam. Krishna describes in Bhagavad Gita that it's lust only, O Arjuna, which is the all-devouring enemy of mankind. Conquer this lust. In the sway of lust, we cannot see. We are blinded. As I was seeing the snow on the Swiss Alps, the air hostess commented, so beautiful. I remembered a couple of years ago when we went there, it was so terribly cold. From a distance, you feel it's so beautiful. Once you are in there, you suffer. This is material energy. Welcome. Everything looks so beautiful and pretty. Once you get there, it is same old boring stuff. There is no juice in it. There is no happiness in it. There is no joy in it. But because of the lust, we give in to it. We are not able to control our senses. Modes of material nature just pull us down and down and down. Just like the water, it will just flow towards where it has to go down. It will not flow upwards until it is empowered by some powerful mechanism of devotional service to go upwards. In Korea, it was around -7 degrees a couple of weeks ago. A few devotees are there. They're trying to survive. And a few Russian devotees have come to help the temple. They've established a little center. Same model. Like West, trains, roads, motorways, undergrounds, high lifestyle, nice cars, girls swinging away, concoction of mind everywhere, what you can see. At that point of time, it was revealed to me that they eat as a delicacy, as a national delicacy, they eat dogs. And you wouldn't find any on the streets. This is high civilization. Speaking to certain people on the train, I felt they are so civilized. So into themselves. Not harming anybody. Following all the laws of humanitarianism. We live and love each other. What's happening with dogs? Hello. And in the scriptures described that these are the lowest of the mankind. Dog eaters. Lowest of the mankind. You are what you eat. It's described in Canto 5 that Sukhdev Goswami is taking us through the structure of the entire universe, planetary systems. And the lower planetary system, he's describing it as Bilaswarg, like its imitation heavenly planet. They are called heavenly subterranean planets. Please listen to it carefully and compare to the world around us, and you will find some similarities. As you go down to these heavenly planets, there is Atal, one of the planets. And in that planet, there lives a demon, Ditya. Ditya because they are come of Diti. Therefore, they are called Ditya. In English, we call them demon. There lives a demon. His name is Bala. Bala demon. And he is so powerful, mystic yogi. By yawning, he creates three kinds of women. They are called Swarnini, Kamini, and Pumashchali. Swarnani would like to be with one man. Kamani, she can go around. But Pumaschali, she just like to be every new man all the time. This is described by Sukhdev Goswami. Pumaschali. So this Pumaschali has an art. As soon as somebody enters into Atal, she can give a beautiful, nice drink, beverage to that personality. And by drinking that beverage, that person becomes intoxicated. And he gets the power of 10,000 elephants. To satisfy her lusty desires, she engages with this man to satisfy herself and again and again. And this man, never feeling tired, seems that he has conquered the world. He feels he's God. And this illusion is created that you are now in control. There is no sun, there's darkness. That reminds of something. It's complete darkness. There is no sun. Therefore, the passage of time is not felt. Therefore, there is no anxiety of death. They are only reminded of death when Sudarshan Chakra comes. And they are fearful of that. But they don't know when it will come. So, practically, they are living anxiety-less. All the demons, all the demigods, they are in anxiety most of the time. But here, the power of illusion is so simulated that you can live anxiety-less life. Vitala has a gold river. That gold comes from Hathki River, which is basically Lord Shiva's semen. And gold is produced from Lord Shiva's semen. When he unites with Mother Parvati, Bhavani, with that secretion, a river floats. And when that water or that product semen river is taken to the fire, it turns into gold. So every woman in this planet wears so much of ornament. So much of ornament, she feels content in her heart. To her content, she wears gold, 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 gold everywhere. There is a demon who builds he's architect and beautiful artist, and he has created cities and gardens which are never to be seen on earthly planets. Even the heavenly planet gardens seems inferior to those beauty. Such beauty is created. One point is missing. They are complete atheist. There is no God. And there is no honesty. Super duper illusion. And within that illusion, the living entity is committing sinful activities. And with the demonic propensities, just gliding down and down into the heavenly into the hellish planets. Living entity, according to Prema Vivarat Upanishad, is described as haunted ghost. What is it that it is haunted of? Unlimited set of desires. And what is the problem? The problem is that it has got limited senses. Here is a man with limited capacity, wanting to fulfill unlimited desires, which are rippling again and again in the platform of his mind, just like the waves are rippling on the ocean. Incessant flow of desires. And to fulfill these desires, he's going through in the sway of lust, forward and not looking back, and getting entangled more and more and more and more. Such is the power of lust. Industrial economy. There was a very beautiful video shown by His Holiness Lokanath Swami Maharaj in Mayapur, which was describing how the industrial economy is exploitative and how the ergonomic economy is the symbol of simplicity and happiness. Shri Shri Radha Gokulanand ki jai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ji ki jai, Shri Shri Gaunitai ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Very powerful video. If those who were in Mayapur or have seen it in through mayapurtv.com or other television channels, it was just describing what we were talking about. However, devotees, Krishna says, Devim Prakatam Ashraya, they have taken the shelter of divine energy of Krishna. They do not go through these prongs of life. Due to lust, we get karma. Due to karma, we get krodha. And we get entangled into this cycle. And then we lose our intelligence. And enviousness just comes in. Srila Prabhupada writes in one of the purports as I was reading through that within the devotee society also we find such demons. In their hearts, the envy is thronging out. And he said, to such devotees, we are not obliged to serve. They can stay away. So we're looking inside our hearts. Is that sincerity there in our heart that Krishna accept us, that Vaishnava society accept us? I was thinking of some certain examples of humility and gratefulness. Why is it that we won't feel grateful to Krishna? He is giving us each and every single facility that is required for our survival. Sun comes on time. And through the sockets of our eyes, in the sunlight, we can see everything. Otherwise, it's a dark universe. If sun was not there, it's a coconut packed. There's no light. Just like in hellish planets. There are snakes with jewels. And with that, there's some light. Here, there are two things. We have eyes that Krishna has provided. And we have sun that comes every day. And this combination then enables us to see what we see. A show of impermanent reality. It's an illusion. Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj says it's the pictures mixing in a platform of our mind. The past, the future, the present. And that's what we are living. So, even the food that we don't know how we are digesting this food. Krishna says, I am the digestion power. So with these apparent realizations, we see that it's only gratefulness towards Krishna that we can develop some kind of humility, which will then enable us to attract the mercy of great saintly devotees and personalities and Krishna himself. That will then clear away the veil of lust from our eyes. So when I was thinking about it, I thought, Sri Haridas Thakur, he is Namacharya. And he was chanting 3 lakh names per day. It takes 17 hours to do that. We chant 16 rounds every day, approximately 1700 rounds, as against 300,000 rounds of Sri Haridas Thakur. He was born in a Muslim family and he came to Jagannath Puri. Srila Haridas Thakur would never enter into Jagannath Puri temple. He would respect the social custom of nobody else than Hindus can go into the temple. With his all humility, he will chant holy names of the Lord. And he will attract the mercy of the Lord because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was pulled to see Haridas Thakur every single day. Without fail, he would go to see Haridas Thakur. And one such occasion, Haridas Thakur was flat, lying on the floor, chanting away his rounds. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, why don't you just minimize or discount your rounds now? You're a perfect soul. You can leave it. And Sri Haridas Thakur said, no, my Lord, I cannot leave it. This is material world. I am so fallen. It was coming from his heart. If I don't chant your rounds, how will I survive? How will my spiritual life survive? How will I get your darshan? How will I get liberation? Let me chant my rounds. Please let me chant my rounds. But I want to leave now. My Lord, this is my earnest prayers to you, that be before my eyes so that I can leave this body. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very deeply satisfied in his heart by determination and humility of Haridas Thakur. It's humility of Haridas Thakur which was attracting him so much towards Haridas Thakur. He said, yes, if you want to leave before me, I will be standing up before you. And in this way, Srila Haridas Thakur, just seeing his beloved Lord Chaitanya right in front of him, chanted holy names of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And he left the body. And he left the body. Like this. Haridas Thakur has the power of any yogic meditation that one can achieve with. He was pure, unalloyed devotee of Lord. And at that point of time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not grieve. He just swayed and took Haridas Thakur in his lap and started dancing to and fro. He started singing the kirtans. All the devotees gathered there and they were all singing the kirtans for hours and hours in the street of Jagannath Puri. Such was the mercy of the Lord. And he declared that those who are here today, seeing or witnessing this event, are going to get pure love of Krishna. And on the contrary, I picked up a character from Chaitanya Charitamrita called as Vallabha Bhattacharya. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to South, this saintly personality, Vallabha, came to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was very scholarly devotee and he was very attracted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's renunciation and knowledge. He invited Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his home for prasadam and Mahaprabhu would not accept prasadam invitations unless otherwise it's somebody special or his mercy is falling upon that devotee. So Mahaprabhu respected his culture, Vallabha's culture, and took his associates to Vallabha's house. He had prasadam. And later on, Vallabha came back and somehow or other, he wanted to tell Chaitanya Mahaprabhu the meanings of the holy names. Mahaprabhu knew in his heart that this Vallabha has some pride in his heart, as opposed to Haridas' humility, which was pulling Chaitanya Mahaprabhu into him. Vallabha's pride was obstructing Mahaprabhu to come near to him. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that, I just know of any other names. It's Keshava, it's Govinda, and you carry on. So Vallabha then got hold of Sarup Damodar, Damodar Pandit, and he started to tell them, I have done a purport of Srimad Bhagavatam. Please hear to me. And I would like to share these realizations. But everybody understood that there is something not right. And they wouldn't just associate with Vallabha. Frustrated. Finally, he come to Gadadhar and he forcibly starts to tell him everything about his Bhagavatam. Later on, to impress upon Mahaprabhu, he said that I decline the teachings of Sridhar Swami because his teachings are changing according to the circumstances he is in. And with that effect, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just said to him, I will tell that person a prostitute who is not faithful to her husband. Vallabhachar could not understand that. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu blatantly stated that you are like a prostitute because you are not following the authority of Sridhar Acharya, who I worship as my guru. So Vallabha Bhattacharya's pride against the humility of Haridas Thakur was so strong that although Lord was still honoring Prasadam at his house, but he wouldn't give him his mercy. So we could be very close to the devotees. We could be serving them in our best capacity. But in our heart, if we do not have that humility to attract the mercy of the Lord through devotees, and if we are proud of our possessions, of our knowledge, of our positions, then there is no possibility of getting the mercy of Gaurang Mahaprabhu. There is no possibility. Later on, Vallabha Bhattacharya realized this one fact, and he came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and surrendered, "My Lord, please, I beg forgiveness." And by mercy of Lord, I think it's Sarup Damodar who gave him the initiation. In the modern world, we have Vallabhacharya Sampradaya on his name, which goes on, and they worship Bal Krishna. So we see that in case of Hiranyakashipu, the demons are lamenting. At the same time, the demigods are rejoicing. So the duality of the worlds are such that if one event can make another one person happy, it can make another person unhappy. So it's all relativity. We are living in a relative world. There is nothing absolute. The only absolute that we know of is only Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada says that unless one comes to the platform of Krishna consciousness, one will continue to struggle in the duality of this relative world. He will never understand it. Birth after birth. Bhavanam janmam ante gyan van mam prapadyante vasudev sarvam iti sa mahatma sudurlabha. Such devotees are rare who would understand that Vasudev, Krishna, is all in all. This position, this point of understanding will not come because of the relativity and all because we are engulfed in lust. Krishna says, he gives the definition of such divine personalities. He says, Satatam kirtiyantu maam yatantas chadarvrutaha namasyantas cha maam bhaktya nitya yukta upasate. So such devotees are constantly singing the glories of the Lord. And we see that in the characters of Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyakshu, Hiranyakashipu gave birth to Prahlad Maharaj, who is living example of this particular shloka. So, if we can, in our hearts, kill the demoniac personalities, the demoniac mentality, we can then perhaps have some hope. Externals are only going to fool us. We have to see in our hearts the sincerity. Do we have that? And with that sincerity, if we come forward and try to achieve these divine qualities, we may acquire mercy of the Lord. So with that, I'll close the talk here and would invite comments and any questions or something else.